Now, a little less than a year out from the presidential election, let's talk politics. Joining me is Dick Pohlman, writer in residence at the University of Pennsylvania, national political columnist. He pens the National Interest blog at newsworks.org. Dick, welcome back to WHYY.
Thank you, Dave.
The next Democratic debate is in Des Moines. Saturday? How did they pick a Saturday?
Yeah, well, they picked a Saturday because everyone suspects, and it's never really been conclusively denied, that they're trying to limit Hillary Clinton's exposure to the public, you know, to sort of minimize if there are any gaffes or any bad moments. So they pick they've limited the number of debates, and they've picked a Saturday night because that is, according to statistics, arguably the lowest watched evening of TV. It's going to be actually on a broadcast station, CBS. So this is actually on the upside, is going to be the first time there's been a debate this fall where, you know, it's free, essentially free TV for everybody. You don't have to be a cable subscriber or whatever. So that's the upside. But nobody watches on Saturday night.
Ironically, there's a voter rights movement to transfer the elections from Tuesday to Saturdays. But that's a different topic. We can bookmark that.
Right.
So if that plan was originally crafted to keep Hillary gaffe-free, she certainly acquitted herself quite well in the most recent debate.
Yeah, you know, there was some feeling after that debate, the first one with Bernie Sanders and O'Malley and the other two that have since dropped out, that, hey, maybe we should have even more debates instead of just the six, because she's doing so well and she just had a really good month and she showed that she's a sharp debater and smart and under fire, that maybe they should have more. But it's still the same number of debates. And as a matter of fact, there's a website, a very good one, called Vox, VOX.com, explanatory journalism site. And somebody on there went through and looked at the last 100 debates that have been staged since 2000. And out of these 100 debates, only seven have been on Saturday nights. So, you know, it's a deliberate policy. But here's the other thing. It's like, in some ways, it almost doesn't matter if what night of the week it is, because, you know, it gets into the news cycle. It'll get talked about on the Sunday shows. The Sunday shows drive, you know, the mainstream New York Times coverage Sunday and Monday. And then, you know, the key themes and arguments and sound bites, you know, will then play out anyway. So even if you don't watch it on a Saturday night, it's still going to be out there to cherry pick.
One of the things that's come out is Hillary is so practiced at debating. And by contrast, Bernie Sanders was found somewhat lacking.
Well, I think one of the things that he has to do, just in terms of the telegenics here, is he has to do something he didn't do in the first debate, which is to just dial it down a bit. I mean, he was basically at the podium sounding like he was talking still to a crowd of 15,000 people in an arena, which Larry David parodied.
Larry David
so well
captured his curmudgeon-y essence on Saturday Night Live, exactly.
So he's got to – I think you've got to tone it down and sort of maybe feel like – make it appear that he's engaging much more conversationally with the other people on stage. I've looked at some polls that have said that she has actually boosted her support within the Democratic electorate since that first debate, whereas he hasn't changed that much. There's a new CBS News poll right now which shows her ahead among likely Democratic voters by 19 points. And, you know, a lot of people on the Bernie Sanders camp were arguing, you know, that, he's closer than that, or he should be closer, or we should perceive him as being closer. But I think what she did was, during that first debate, was to reinforce the views of people in the Democratic base who were predisposed toward her but were a little bit uneasy. I think she sort of calmed them down and said that, you know, she's in this for the long haul and she can weather whatever is thrown at her. She has tilted left on a number of things in recent weeks and months, I think in part perhaps because of Bernie Sanders. I mean, I think one of what he's contributing to the campaign beyond perhaps trying to win is that he is nudging her leftward on some things closer to where the Democratic base is. You know, and we can always have an endless and fruitless discussion over whether some of her tilting toward the left is a sincere conversion or whether it's just calculated positioning for political reasons in a primary season. But the fact is that she's done it. She's done it on trade, the international trade agreement that she once talked very favorably of when she was Secretary of State, marijuana reform. Which only a few weeks ago she was kind of saying, you know, no, I mean, it should be, you know, we don't want to talk about legality in any particular way. But now, just the other day, she started talking about, well, we should reclassify the drug, marijuana, to Schedule 2, which is the less onerous category, so as to allow more medical marijuana research. And that's new, and that's sort of a move to the left. And so these are some of the things that – and so, of course, I mean, Bernie Sanders is saying that's still not enough, because he's come out for legalization in the sense of getting rid of it as a illegal federal drug. He wants to allow the states to be able to legalize it without any, you know, interference from the feds. So he's still her left on things like that. But, you know, you can see what – you know, you can see what the stress points are here between the two.
Here's a stress point, at least tangential to capital punishment. Bernie Sanders hails from a hunting state, and he's had to do this delegate dance regarding gun rights.
Well, yeah, gun rights. And so, you know, I don't know. We'll see if that comes up on Saturday night. I mean, that was fairly well vented in the first debate when, you know, the questioning kind of brought it up, as I recall. And, you know, and he's in that tricky position. You know, the Democratic base is, including many Bernie Sanders supporters, I'm sure. You know, they want gun reform. They're very strong on gun reform. They're very anti-NRA. Whereas, as Bernie Sanders pointed out, you know, he's from a state where there's a lot of hunting, a lot of guns, as you just said. And he won his first congressional race way back in the early 90s with help from the state chapter of the NRA. I mean, ancient history, albeit. But when it came up in the questioning, they asked Hillary Clinton, do you think, you know, Bernie Sanders' position on guns is acceptable? And she said, absolutely not. And she came out with a very outspoken anti-NRA position. Now, that's actually a shift for, if we consider her sort of, you know, the mainstream centrist barometer in this race. I mean, it used to be the mainstream centrist position for Democrats for really 20 years was to run, you know, like the wind, as far away from gun issues and not to challenge the NRA on anything. And it goes back to the early 90s and her husband, too. You know, I think that center of gravity has shifted, maybe perhaps in the wake of Sandy Hook Elementary School. And so she was able to, as it were, get to Sanders' left on that issue with the base, you know, whereas on other things, maybe, you know, he's to her left. So, you know, she's coming at him from both directions. And one of the things that's tricky for him also, by the way, and this is also pertains to Saturday night, you know, and he's been doing this. He wants to stress their differences. He wants to stress their differences, but he wants to keep it as issue-oriented as possible. He doesn't want to do anything that's going to sound like
he's tired of hearing about those darn emails.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want to gang up on her personally. He doesn't want to sort of put out that, you know, oh, my opponent is dishonest. Or he doesn't want to do any of that kind of, you know, real sort of personal hot-button stuff. He's trying to
keep
it on the
issues. Now, not because
he's
potentially positioning for a vice presidential run?
No, I can't see that happening. Yeah, I can't see the party having and I'm not saying this is an ageist thing. I'm saying this is an objective thing. I can't see them nominating a woman who is, I believe, now 68. And how old is Bernie Sanders? 73, I believe, 73. So, you know, that won't work, particularly if Marco Rubio is running against him. He'd have a field day with that theme, right?
So regardless of what Bernie Sanders can accomplish in his remaining time, do you agree with those who contend it would take a real implosion on the Hillary Clinton campaign part to make it even competitive?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I think that she's, you know, we've had their history, and Bill, too, we forget. You know, now he's like this, you know, renowned popular guy, won two terms and everything. But, you know, the ups and downs that he had, and they get into, you know, they get into these crazy, you know, hot water situations, and they always seem to find their way out of them again. And so, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to sit here and predict at all that, you know, that there isn't going to be some more speed bumps on the emails. Although there was apparently some Justice Department or FBI report just the other day saying that there wasn't any seriously classified stuff. They haven't found anything like that. You know, my guess is still that the people who are most up in arms about her emails are the people who wouldn't vote for her anyway. But, you know, she runs – we saw this in 08 after she got behind Obama and was trying to catch up in the spring. She runs best sometimes when she's
coming
like
from
the
behind,
underdog, or when she's in a position of, you know, disadvantage. So, you know, and it's such a long race, and she has to sustain this front runner thing. And, you know, and the press gets nudgy. You know, we know that. You know, it's just it's a. I'm not out there on in the you know on the press corps every day, but it's like, all right, so this is the person who's ahead. So when is she going to make news? And news is conflict, and so you know, there's kind of a built-in dynamic there that you know, there's no story, so as it were, if you're in front every single day. So we'll see. We'll see what comes down. But I think the race is going to be the contest will be clarified pretty quickly when we get it through Iowa and New Hampshire. And then we'll see. I mean, and you know, by then, once if Bernie Sanders doesn't do a have a terrific showing in New Hampshire, which is should be his kind of voters, then I think she's got fairly clear sailing. Yeah,
Dick, we always bring you here because you do know what you're talking about. Thanks for coming into WHYY
My
studios.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks.
Dick Pohlman, writer in residence at the University of Pennsylvania, and he pens the National Interest blog at newsworks.org.